The 545th edition of the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Play their fantasy pick'em for a chance to win 100 times your entry in NBA, MLB, NHL, golf, and more. Sign up today using promo code MMASGPN to get a 100% deposit match. And we're also brought to you by the premier arbitrage sports betting tool, Avo. Use their tool to bet both sides and lock in a profit. Access their platform for free at arbsversusodds.com. That's arbsversusodds.com.
Howdy ho, Degenerinos. Welcome to episode 545 of the MMA Gambling Podcast and the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. This one's going out to my lovely wife who turns 21 years old today. So don't do the math. Somehow we have a 18-year-old, but yes. Happy birthday to her and happy birthday to everyone else celebrating a birthday. And welcome to everyone else listening to this episode. We are here with your PFL prelims. No UFC this week, so we can double down on our regional MMA coverage. I don't even know if you can call the PFL regional our non-UFC coverage, which seems to go over well with you degens out there. So thank you for that. I won't be doing it by myself. I am one of your hosts, Jeff Chalks Fox. I have a man who did very well last week with his PFL picks, which is impressive considering he's a topology capper. It's the one and only Daniel Gumby Vreeland, who probably wants to gloat about his topology capping that came through last week.
Are you just gonna use that now as my
maybe intro? I'll get bored very soon.
Hey, by the way, Michael Dufort, really good. You don't even have to look at topology for that. If you've watched him out wrestle,
I watched that fight,
dude. He looks so good. And not just like, you know, I originally had said with the grappling, right? Because his fight with Joe Giannetti, or if you want to go all the way back to his fight with Violent Bob Ross, Luis Pena, like his grappling in those two fights looks sensational. But in this fight, his boxing got going too a little bit. You know, like it was Mads Burnell, who's also a guy who kind of relies on his takedowns. And, you know, I mean, I guess he's got decent hands too. But he looked great. Submission skills are out of control. Is he the favorite to win a PFL season right after his teammate vacates the division?
That would be crazy. I don't know if he's a favorite. He was the underdog in that fight, so I don't think.
But after doing what he did to Mads Burnell, like he's not going to be a dog in his next fight. Like
it depends who they put him up against. I don't even remember who the champ is at lightweight.
Well, nobody's the champ at lightweight because it's a new season.
That's right.
Before that, it was
Yes. Yeah. So it's vacant.
His biggest challenger is probably like Clay Collard. I'm trying to think of who else won. Brett Primus won on that card. Like I don't know. I think I'd pick him over Clay Collard. If he could beat Clay Collard, like that probably makes him the favorite to win $1 million.
Yeah. Interesting. So how, tell us about PFL too, other than Michael Dufort. I think you completely got everything right. Just like, the person who entered my pick'em contest this morning and surprisingly has every pick right from last night's, Saturday night's, UFC. Nice try, guy. I don't think I'm going to let you bid in the contest that way.
that's a good bit. You got to give him props. It is.
Yep. You should get at least a few. Don't kids that cheat on tests at least, you know, try to get a few wrong so it doesn't raise eyebrows. But anyhow, back to the PFL. How did you do? I hear you.
Yeah, so I swept the board. Got a little bit lucky in the Satabu Sai versus Josh Silveria fight. That one, Silveria wins, but it was by an injury. You know, Satabu Sai.
Yeah, what happened?
He really quickly into the fight broke his thumb. Like it was like a minute and 15 seconds in or something like that. He broke his thumb. So, you know, Silveria came through there as a slight underdog, but like, I don't know how much I can take credit for that one. I can take credit for knowing Clay Collard would absolutely manhandle, Patricky Pitbull. Pitbull couldn't deal with the pace, couldn't deal with the speed, couldn't deal with the boxing. He never has been able to deal with really good boxers. Clay Collard made it 3-3. Then we got to go 4-4. Rob Wilkinson showed Tom Breese that he does actually have a deficiency in boxing, which is
no way, man.
It's exactly what I said, and yet some people in the comment section think I don't do any research and think there's no way Tom Breese is not that great at boxing. I will also say Tom Breese looked like he quit in this fight, which I did say on Wednesday's episode, or nope. Tuesday's episode. So like, I'm proud of that one. And then Impa Kasangane manhandled Easy Belize. I did say I didn't like that line, but Impa Kasangane made it look like that line was just about right. So yeah, 5-0, up about, if you had bet $100 on every fight, up about $600. Overall, pretty good night.
And you did good with your lightning round picks too, did you not?
Yeah, those ones went all right. My CFFC lightning round picks went a little bit better. Although cool. I was hoping they'd be closer odds, but a lot of the ones I picked wound up being pretty tight. So yeah, keep an eye on. We won't do lightning round for this card because we're going to do every fight on it.
Yeah, exactly. All right, before we jump into it, hat tip to our brethren at the Golf Gambling Podcast. They just concluded a weekend of covering the Masters, and they gave away a TaylorMade Spider Tour X putter to a lucky winner. So make sure you listen to their podcast, watch, subscribe, all that stuff, because they give away cool things like putters. So that is the Golf Gambling Podcast on our network, Sports Gambling Podcast Network. All right. So that was PFL 2. The pacing, Gumby. Oh my God. Everyone always talks about the pacing in the Discord. I miss multiple fights because of the pacing, because I'm like, I'm not sitting around. Yeah. But also, I'm not sitting around waiting for half an hour for another fight to come on. And then when I turn it on, I'm like, oh, this fight's over
already. Well, and the worst part is you have to listen to Randy Couture while you wait. Like, love Sean O'Connell. He's so great on the mic. Could do without Randy Couture on it. That's my hot take here.
You're more of a Tyrone Woodley fan on the mic, are you?
He's not as bad. I can do it. I like Woodley. Woodley can be my... you're right. And then the other two are on the other. Basically, how good your career was in the UFC is exactly inverse to your skills at announcing PFL.
Very true. O'Connell's is his is wild though, because he's doing play by play, which you never see. Athletes don't transition play by play. They transition to.
He also said something into a hot mic.
I know, that was fantastic. Talking about asking. Well, really, is it really that bad? Like. It happened. Rob Wilkinson got busted for steroids. Maybe you could ask me. You could ask about it. I know you don't want to because you're actually you're not a reporter here. You're actually basically doing PR work for the promotion. But anyhow, hopefully he doesn't get in trouble for that. So that was PFL 2. Fix the pacing though. If you guys are listening, like way, I'm sure it's not up to you though. It's up to the TV companies. But yeah, wow. Hopefully PFL 3 moves a bit quicker through. It is happening this coming Friday, Chicago, Illinois. This one is at the Wynn Trust Arena, 6:30 p.m. start time. Prelims are on ESPN Plus, main card ESPN. Today is all about the prelims though, so we're talking about the 6:30 p.m. start time. We got six fights in the prelims, six fights on the main card, and we do have odds at this early date for you. That's another good thing. There's more than one good thing. The smart cage is one good thing about PFL, right? And then the fact that they have to mention every 5 seconds, and then the odds being published early are a good thing too. So this week is all about, this week's PFL is all about the welterweights and the featherweights. So they get their chance to shine here, and we're going to start off with a welterweight fight. Any thoughts on the prelim portion of the card before we jump into it? Actually,
no. You'll get my good thoughts.
Perfect. Perfect. We'll go through his thoughts as we get him to make picks here. So we're talking about, like I said, welterweight start off. A lot of familiar names on this fight card. If you are a fight fan, Don Madge is kicking things off. The South African, and he's fighting. Let me scroll back down. Brennan Ward for the United States of America, 3 5-minute rounds at 170 pounds. Irish Brennan Ward, 17-7, 12 knockouts, 4 submissions. He's been knocked out 3 times, submitted 4 times, so he's been finishing all his losses. This is short notice, a debut in the PFL, so keep that in mind. Short notice fighters, at least in the UFC, where I track it, they don't do so hot. He's 3-1 over his last 4. He did get TKO'd in his last fight. That's another thing to keep in mind. 11-7 in Bellator. Used to fight at middleweight, 2008 pro MMA debut. Was an All-American wrestler. plus 150. Actually, before I move on, I think they did a better job this week mixing the Bellator and the PFL guys together instead of, you know, making Bellator fight Bellator and so on. So Magic Man, Mr. Ward is nickname. He's 10-4-1, 6 knockouts, 3 submissions. He's been knocked out twice, submitted once. 1-1 in PFL, 7-1 over his last 8. Got TKO'd in his last fight as well. That was back in April 2022. He's not won a fight since October 2021. He went 2-0 in the UFC and then got released due to visa issues, I believe. Used to fight at lightweight, was regional champion, 2011 pro MMA debut. 2 years younger than Ward, 2 inches taller, an inch of reach on him, minus 180.
I'm actually going to go dog here out of the gate. I'm going to take Brendan Ward in this fight. I think, first of all, I think the short notice thing is a little bit less worrisome because I think he was preparing for an alternate fight on the season anyway. Okay. So then when Madge's opponent, which is, I believe, originally supposed to be Kyle Krutchmer, right?
Yeah, that's
right. Yeah, so when Kyle Krutchmer dropped out of that fight, Ward was already ready to go. Like, I don't think they had to like call him and get him into a fight camp or anything like that. So I think that's not a problem. And then the reason I like Ward stylistically against Madge is you'll see when Madge fights, he fights kind of upright in his stance and kind of heavy on his front leg, which is usually, you know, a gift wrap for somebody who is a good wrestler. And that's really what Brendan Ward wants to do, right? Brendan Ward wants to wrestle you, get your back, that kind of thing. A little bit of ground and pound. So I think, first of all, that's a really big gift for Brendan Ward. And then the second thing is Don Madge really relies on kicks. If you watch his last fight, he threw 75 leg strikes in that fight. It might have even been a little bit more than that, but I remember seeing, looking down and seeing like, oh, he's throwing 75 because they got the Spark Cage TM. You know, Ward does an exceptional job of catching kicks and knees and things like that and turning them into takedowns. So like, you already have Madge's, maybe his best weapon, kind of being neutralized by Ward. The fact that he fights upright, I think, is even more gift wrap for Ward. And then the thing about Madge is he's been caught with some overhand rights in the past, and Ward is kind of a duck your head down like you're going to wrestle and throw the right hand over the top kind of fighter. So like, I think a lot of the things Ward does plays into beating Madge. I like his pace, I like his energy, and I like the fact that you can get him at plus 150 here. So yeah, give me Brendan Ward. Let's go underdog right out the gate.
All right. We like that, especially after the week Gumby is coming off. So we shall ride with Gumby on this plus 150 underdog for sure. Let's tell you about some friends before we dive into our next fight. I'm going to tell you about our friends at Underdog Fantasy. Underdog Fantasy is the easiest place to play fantasy sports. It's also the fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. You pick between 2 and 5 fighters, players, whatever sport you want to make plays on. And then you pick higher or lower on the various stat totals listed for that player. If you hit all your picks, you can win 100 times your money in a single night. If you need some help with your picks, we run tons of articles. Gumby and I write lots of Underdog Fantasy articles, as do other writers on sportsgamblingpodcast.com for various sports. So here's the important thing. Sign up today with our promo code MMASGPN, and you get your first deposit doubled up to $100, as well as an instant pick'em special, and you make us look good. So it's win-win. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the App Store, and don't forget to register with our promo code MMASGPN. Get your first deposit doubled up to $100, as well as an instant pick'em special. You must be 18 or older and present in the state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-522-4700 or visit www.ncpgambling.org. All right, ladies and gentlemen, because we do actually have some ladies that at least follow us online and maybe watch our stuff, maybe listen to us too. This is going down to featherweights. We're going to be bouncing featherweight welterweights. This is Tyler Diamond, United States of America, Otto Rodriguez. You can tell by how I said the name. He is from Brazil. 3 5-minute rounds, 145 pounds. And we're going to tell you about Mr. Diamond first, 12-3, 5 knockouts, 2 submissions. He's been submitted 1 time, 1-2 in PFL. He's lost 2 straight. Before that, he won 3 straight. He's got submitted in his last fight. He's not won a fight since April of 2021. 0-1 in the UFC, 1-1 in the Ultimate Fighter. Was regional champion, 3 years younger than Rodriguez. 2 inches taller, 5 inches reach, plus 115. So very close fight here on paper. Rodriguez 14-1 with 7 submissions. He's been knocked out once. This is his PFL debut. He's won 13 straight fights. He's not lost since April of 2008. It's quite a undefeated stretch he's going on here. A 1-0 Bellator, used to fight at lightweight, was regional champion at 2007 pro MMA debut, minus 145.
Yeah, I'm going to go dog out of the gate here. I'm going to take Tyra Diamond. The big reason is I don't really trust the records of the people that Otto Rodriguez has fought. And if you watch any of his fights, his striking is not sharp. It's really loopy, and he doesn't get right to the target whatsoever. He's a guy who kind of relies on his grappling, needs takedowns and stuff like that. And Tyra Diamond, not for anything. This dude is an exceptionally good wrestler. If you watch his fight with Brandon Logan, who we're going to talk about on tomorrow's episode, I mean, like, he took a wrestling game to Brendan, and like, ultimately he lost that by majority decision, but like, it isn't because he didn't look good in what he was trying to do. It's, he just got caught with some strikes, right? And like, he's not the better striker than Brendan Logan, and I think he is a better striker than Otto Rodriguez. So we're going to see a guy who's got really good wrestling and good top control. He's tenacious in the way that he comes in it, and he puts together like nice enough combinations on the feet. Again, probably not enough to be like a serious threat to win the featherweight division this year in the PFL, but like enough to beat a guy like Otto Rodriguez. I think his striking is just a touch better than Rodriguez. I think that wrestling is going to be a real difference maker. Like I said, tenacious on it, gets right after it, puts you up against the cage. I think Rodriguez also might just give up some of those takedowns hoping to grapple. Because he is good at jiu-jitsu, right? Like, he's good on the mats, but I don't think it's going to help him. I think Diamond is gonna, you know, sort of carry that top position. He's gonna be tough. He's gonna be a tough out in terms of submissions and stuff like that. And I like Diamond to pick up an underdog win here.
All right, there you go. We like this. He's going nothing but dogs so far. See if it continues. We're going back to welterweights now. Zach Jusola versus Luka Poklik. Or is it Poslik? He's from Moldova. I don't speak Moldovan. How do you say his name,
Gabby? It's Poklit.
Poklit. All my options were wrong. How do you say Zach Jusola?
Jusola, yeah.
Jusola. He's from the United States. So U.S. versus Moldova. Don't see a heck of a lot of Moldovans fighters, do we?
There's a couple in the UFC.
Or not a lot of Moldovans in general, perhaps. Yeah, there is a few. Name them, Gabby. Go.
Romanov is Moldovan. Yes,
it's true. There you go. We only need one. Jusola, the Juice, of course, has to be his nickname. 14-9, 4 knockouts, 9 submissions. He's been knocked out 3 times, submitted twice. 2-0 in PFL. That's part of a 2-fight winning streak. Before that, he lost 2 straight. All he had to do was get in the PFL, and now he's can't be beat. Has not lost since March of 2022. Used to fight at lightweight. 2010, pro MMA debut. 1-1 as a pro boxer, 1-0 in BKFC, bare knuckle fighting, an inch taller than Poklik, plus 210. Yeah, for the record, Gumby gave the bosses pronunciation guide when he was on the Big Show, Sports Gambling Podcast show, but no, not me. He lets me.
Poklik.
And he even gives a pronunciation guide to his host in his other show. You can tell, but no, not here. Poklik, 10-1, 1 knockout, 6 submissions. He's been submitted 1 time. This is his PFL debut. He's won 10 straight fights. He's not lost since his debut, which was March of 2012. Won his last fight via submission. 3-0 on Bellator, 2012 pro MMA debut, as I said. 2 years younger than Jusola, an inch of reach, minus 270. All right, pronunciation guy, go ahead.
So first of all, I can't remember who it is. So if you're in the Discord and you're watching this, I know I have a person in there who loves to bet you solo with me.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. He's somebody's favorite, and I couldn't remember for the life of me who it was. I tried to dig back in the Discord and find it, and I couldn't.
Yeah.
So whoever you are, show yourself when this episode airs. I'm going to pick Poklik here, but the problem is I'm just going to say, don't bet this number. Cause Jusola is just, the guy is so tough. And he puts on such a pace that he can be just like a tough out for anybody. The problem for me and why I'm still going to pick Poklik here is just that I think that Poklik's submission game, dude, it's insane. This guy's got, I can't remember what he calls it. It's like the Lucanator or like the Lucatine, or he's got this weird submission that he says he practices in the gym and he hit in a fight not that long ago. You got to go back and look it up. It's one of the wildest things I've ever seen. And he put the dude out cold with it. They look like they were just in a scramble. And the thing is he finds a lot of submissions, not just this real weird one, but a lot of submissions in scrambles. And unfortunately for Jusola, that is the thing he does really well, right? Like, he scrambles, he doesn't give up positions. And like, those are kind of the moments where Luka is really good. Poklik is nasty in scrambles. He finds necks. He does these really unconventional submissions. So like, I think he's a bad matchup for Jusola, but that being known that Jusola just like comes forward, throws hands, Poklied is not particularly a good striker. I think he could be a tough out for Poklied. I just can't imagine Poklied doesn't find his neck at some point in time. So I'm going to go with Poklied. I think Jusola is probably the one with the value on him here. So I would not throw Poklied in any parlays. If you want to see if you can find like a subline on him and it's near even money, maybe that's the move. But otherwise, yeah, I just stay off of this one.
So if you're a weirdo and you like to bet Zach Jusola as well, obviously the Discord is a place for you because like-minded weirdos are in there. What's this mystery submission like? What type of, are we talking a choke?
It's a choke. You can go back and watch it. It's one of the most bizarre things. He's like, his head is tucked underneath, almost like he's trying to hit a switch in a takedown. And he wraps underneath the arms and legs, basically in like an, it's like a, I imagine the choke is working the same way as like a buggy choke or like an arm triangle choke does, cutting off the artery. But he's reaching underneath his own leg to grab it. It's bizarre. Like, I wish I could describe it. It's like undescribable in the way that he hits this submission, but you can go back and watch it. I got to look up the name now too, because I know it's like the Lucanator or the Lucatine or the Lucanizer or something like that, but I'll get the intern on it and I'll let you know when we're done talking about the next fight.
Fantastic. All right. The next fight is, we're staying with welterweight actually. Lorino Staropoli, a name you may remember from Argentina. He's going up against, I lost my spot. I'm a Tapology capper, and I lost my Tapology. Here it is. Murad Ramazanov from Russia. Not surprisingly, a name I butchered. And this is, like I said, 3 5-minute rounds at welterweight. Let's get to the right spreadsheet now, shall we? I'm messing everything up here as the intern looks for other things. All right, we're going to tell you about Staropoli. El Matador is the nickname. Also, I've seen him listed as Pepe. Take your pick. Pepe El Matador. He is 13-5, 7 knockouts, 2 submissions. He's been knocked out once. He's 1-0 in Bellator. Not Bellator, excuse me, PFL. Same thing nowadays, right? Won 4 straight fights. Before that, he lost 4 straight fights. A bit of a streaky fellow. He's won 2 straight via knockout or TKO. He's not lost since October 2021. He's fight at middleweight. He went 2-4 in the UFC. 2013 pro MMA debut. 2 inches of height over Ramazanov. Plus 400. Ramazanov, 11-0 with 1 no contest, 4 knockouts, 3 submissions. This is his PFL debut. No contest in his last fight. That was back in December of 2022. 3-0 with 1 no contest in 1 championship. So this is nothing. He's already fought in the biggest promotion in the world of all time. Listen to all the weight classes he has fought at. He's fought at middleweight. He's now at welterweight. He also fought at lightweight. He also fought at featherweight. All the way from featherweight up to middleweight. You don't see that too often. 40-pound range in weights there. A 2014 pro MMA debut, 2 years younger than Staropoli, -550.
Ramazanov is the pick here. I like, so sometimes you when you look at these guys, you see the Russian looking last name and you're like, he's probably a good wrestler. And sometimes you're terribly wrong about that. We'll talk about that in a moment. This is not one of those times you're terribly wrong. Ramazanov is incredible. When it comes to wrestling, his last fight was against Roberto Soldic in ONE FC, the biggest promotion in the world.
yes,
it only lasted 2 minutes. It ended in a no contest with one of the most brutal groin strikes I've ever seen in my life. He throws a knee, and I'm pretty sure you can hear the cup break.
Ooh, nice.
Which is, yeah, and then Soldic can't continue. But Ramazanov, leading up to that, had taken down Soldic and had control of him. It was really impressive wrestling. He was all over him, pressing him against the cage, taking him down, trying to get the ground and pound going. Like, and if he can do that to Roberto Soldic, I can't imagine he has any trouble with Mariana Staropoli. Like, this is not just him getting a big number because he's Russian and he's got a scary-sounding name. This is him being, like, an exceptionally good prospect and fighting a guy who seems like he's just filling out the PFL roster. So, yeah, I'm going to go Ramazanov. I don't think this needs much breakdown. He's going to hit a takedown and work on top until the fight's over, and that might be 15 minutes, it might be 2 minutes, but, like, I don't really see a path to victory for Staropoli, which you kind of would imagine with a negative 550 line.
Yeah, definitely. So this was not a groin strike that even Alex Pereira would just wave off.
No, I don't think so. I don't think so.
All right. You never know with this, with Poatan though. All right. Before we move on, got to tell you about our friends, newer friends with us. AVO. It's spelled AVO, pronounced AVO. And who are they? I'll let you know. We're proud to partner up with AVO, the premier sports betting arbitrage tool. If you're new to arbitrage sports betting, it's very simple. Basically betting both sides of a bet at two different sports books to lock in a profit. The AVO tool scans the sports books looking for discrepancies in the odds and then tells you how much money you need to place with each sports book and the expected profit. The tool is super easy to use and lightning fast. The speed is a big part of arbitrage sports betting. The best part is AVO is currently free to use without restrictions. That's right. Completely free. The best word in the world. Get started today at arbsversusodds.com. I'll spell it out for you. ArbsVsOdds.com. So it's arbsversusodds.com. Check it out. Okay. We're moving on. Was the intern looking something up?
It's the Lucanator choke.
The Lucanator choke. Of course it is. You were right. All right. Two more fights to go. We are back down to featherweight now. Timur Kizriev from Russia, Brett Johns from Wales. There's a country we don't get a heck of a lot of fighters from. We have a few though. All right, I'm going to tell you about the Pikey first. Brett Johns, 20-3, 4 knockouts, 6 submissions. He's never been finished in a fight. 1-0 in PFL as part of a 3-fight winning streak. He's won 5 of his last 6. He won via TKO his last fight. He's not lost since May of 2021. 5-2 in the UFC. Multiple region championships on his
mantle.
Correct shirts. sportsgamingpodcast.com/store, or get the shirt I'm wearing, or the hat I'm wearing, or a sticky shirt, whatever you want. Why was he released from the UFC, or did he leave? I don't remember the situation.
I want to say he left. I want to say he was like, couldn't get a contract that he liked and wound up somewhere else.
Yep. 5-2 will usually keep you around for a bit. I told you about multiple regional championships. He also has the Cage Warriors championship on his mantle. So the mantle is heaving under the weight of all his titles. He's going to get $1 million, title on there as well, like the $1 million man. Used to fight down at bantamweight, up at lightweight, has missed weight twice at bantamweight, but that shouldn't be a case or an issue here because he's at featherweight. 2012 pro MMA debut, 3 inches reach over Kizriev, +189. Kizriev Imam is the nickname. IMAM 14-0, another undefeated Russian back to back here. 3 knockouts, 1 submission. This is his debut in PFL. 3-0 in Bellator. 2014 pro MMA debut, 3 years younger. Then John's 2 inches taller, -229.
I'm going to go with the Pikey. I like Brett Johns in this fight.
This is a dog heavy card. Wow. I like it.
I mentioned on the last breakdown, it's that I think you can't just look at a name and be like, they're good at wrestling. Even though Ramazanov is, I don't really like what I've seen out of Kizriev in terms of his wrestling. Don't get me wrong. He scored a lot of takedowns in his fights. His control looks okay. But it just looks like a lot of times when he's faced with an opponent who will stuff some of his takedowns, he struggles a little bit. It doesn't look like it's as easy for him. Was it him that I watched fight the Tumanev? Never mind. That's not important. But he struggles once in a while with his takedowns. And Brett Johns is a guy who scrambles exceptionally well, right? Like, we've seen him beat guys who want to wrestle him and can't quite do it. And his hands are better. The thing with Kizriev, when you watch him throw, it's very much a means to an end. Like, the only reason he's boxing is because it could lead to a takedown at some point in time. And you can tell that because, like, he doesn't have a good sense of range. His arm, you know, they're all arm strikes. They're not like he's throwing anything of real significant value out there. So I think Johns, as long as he stuffs a couple of takedowns here, I think he can really take over with the hands. I think you getting him at this price is really nice. I do think the money's going to come in on him, though, because more and more people are going to realize the line was kind of just set based on where the Russian guy's name was. So I would expect to get in on Brett Johns earlier rather than late, because I don't think that line will stay where it is.
Especially not after this episode drops. So get in on there before all our degens steam that number up on you. So another dog for Gumby. Let's see how we conclude things with another dog or not. Let's see. This is the main event of the prelims. This is featherweight still. Adam Borix. He is from Hungary. And he is fighting against Enrique Barzola from Mexico. 3 5-minute rounds, 145 pounds. Let's jump into it. Tell you about Barzola first. El Fuerte is a nickname. Do you know what that means?
The force.
Yes, the force, the fort, the strong, all those apply. He is 27-2, 20-7-2, 5 knockouts, 4 submissions. He's been submitted once, so that's pretty durable. This is professional MMA fight 30 coming up here. He's only been stopped once. This is his debut in the PFL. He's won 2 straight. Before that, he lost 2 straight. He went 4-2 in the UFC in Bellator, 6-3-1 in the UFC, 2-0 the Ultimate Fighter and the champion of his season. He's fight at bantamweight, 2012 pro MMA debut, +160. Borix, the kid, Adam Borix, 18-2, 4 knockouts, 6 submissions. He's been submitted once. This is his debut as well in the PFL. 4-1 over his last 5, did lose his last fight. He went 9-2 in Bellator, was regional champion, 2014 pro MMA debut, 4 years younger than Barzola, 4 inches taller, -200.
I'm going to go Borix here. I know you all want another dog, but this ain't it. I really liked his last fight with Pitbull, despite the fact he wound up losing that fight. I thought he won rounds 4 and 5. And taking rounds 4 and 5 off of Patricio Pitbull is nothing to be ashamed of, right? And that's certainly something that you could use as a resume builder over everything else. He definitely didn't win the first 3 rounds, but I do even like kind of the range he was establishing there. He uses his length really well, which I think is his big advantage here against Barzola, is he's going to use that range. He's going to use that length. He's going to put combinations together, and I don't think Barzola is going to have much of an answer for it. And then in addition to that, too, like, Barzola's kind of been one of those guys, if you go back to his time in the UFC, where, like, his wrestling kind of sneaks up on people. I don't think he's got any chance to wrestle Borix here. I think he's going to have to stand and trade with him. I can't imagine that ends well. I don't think he gets close enough to him to land anything significant because of how Borix uses his range and the fact that he's got a 4-inch reach advantage, right? Like, he's already fights longer than Barzola, and then you add that he is longer than Barzola. Mm-hmm. I think that just doubly plays in Borix's favor. So I think this number is one of the better steals on the card. I'm going to give you one tomorrow that's an even better steal.
Oh.
Little teaser there. But I'd say this is maybe the best line for me on the prelims. Is I think, like, this one has tremendous value. I don't know. Maybe the Tyler Diamond one, too. I kind of like that Tyler Diamond one.
All right. That's recap everything, and then we will get out of your orifices, and we'll jump back in tomorrow. That's a promise. He's got Borix. He's got Johns as a dog. He's got Ramazanov as a big favorite. Polkli as a moderate favorite, Diamond as a dog, and Ward as a dog. So don't you people complain about skipping fights or not getting any dogs here. Neither of those things are true. We did it all. Gumby, tell us about your hat. I forgot to ask about the hat.
Oh, yeah. This is a new one, right? Yeah, shout out to all my fellow Southerners. Because I know I got some Louisiana guys in the Discord. This is the Biloxi Shuckers, which is a minor league team, are rebranding for, I think, a game or two this season as the Biloxi King Cakes. Do you know what a king cake is?
Yes.
So this is the king cake. And for those of you who don't know, it's like a celebratory Mardi Gras cake. That's basically like sometimes they're like a big jelly donut. Sometimes they've got some cinnamon on the inside, and there's usually a small plastic baby stuffed inside of it. So that's
Yep. The Southerners, they know how to do things up. So there you go. There's the hat. John would be mad, I'm sure, if I didn't mention that last episode. So I thought I better get it in this one. All right. We're going to be back, like I said, tomorrow. We're going to cover the second half of this here event with the main card fights for welterweights and featherweights. In the meantime, the Discord is the place to be. sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Discord. Twitter, not so much, but it's a place we are at still. That would be SGP and MMA. I'm at Jeff Fox Writer. He's at Gumby Vreeland on there. I'm at Jeff Fox Writer on the old Instagram as well. If that's your jam, you can say hi to me there. Where else can you see us? You can see me on my Substack, moneymma.substack.com. I run a weekly UFC pick'em on there. When the UFC runs. So, of course, no contest this week, but I do lots of MMA writing, stat stuff, fun stuff like that. So check it out. See if you like it. Gumby's got Top Turtle MMA podcast, where he interviews interesting fighters every week. Who is on it this week? Do we know yet, or is it up in the air still?
Yeah, we know yet. We got a pair of Austins who are fighting at UFC Vegas 90. We're talking with Austin Lane and Austin Hubbard.
Oh, not Austin Lingo. There's another
Austin, Austin lingo. Yeah.
There's a lot of Austins. Yeah. All right. So make sure you listen to that. It's always a good show, no matter who is on it. Where else can you catch us? Obviously, thank you everyone who watches and subscribes on YouTube. If you don't want to watch us, if you could subscribe from all your accounts, that would help us out greatly as we we're moving towards 500 subscribers. So thank you everyone for helping us get there so quickly. Where else? Of course, the mothership is sportsgamblingpodcast.com. If you want to get cool gear so you can look like Gumby and myself, coolest dudes around, that would be sportsgamblingpodcast.com/store, and our Patreon, where you can get obviously a bonus content and help us crush corporate gambling at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/patreon. I'm gonna let Gumby say goodbye to you until tomorrow.
All right, I'm Danny Gumby Freeland. He's the magic man, Jeff Fox, and we will see you on actually tomorrow.